With North Sound Energy Week podcast, I'm Joe Odber. First up, the oil and gas industry has been warned to get to grips with skyrocketing costs. They've gone up by 60% since 2011, and it's putting the future of the North Sea at risk. It's one of the big challenges identified in the latest economic report from Oil and Gas UK. Here's Chief Executive Malcolm Webb.
Well, I think what the economic report shows is, very encouragingly, the industry has stemmed the decline in production that we've seen over the past 3 years, when we've seen sort of a fall of 30% of our production volumes. And what we're able to see now is that we've plateaued out on that. That's very good news. What the report also shows, however, is that there are three significant challenges that face the industry right now, all of which need to be overcome if we are to have a sustainable long-term future. And those are, firstly, that we need to see the Wood Report in all its facets fully implemented as soon as possible, and the arrival of the new Oil and Gas Authority on the scene. Secondly, we need major fiscal reform, and we're looking forward to what the Chancellor is going to say in his autumn statement in that regard. And thirdly, the industry does need to get on top of this very significant cost challenge that we have in the basin at the moment. You know, costs have been rising at the rate of about 20% a year for the last decade or so, and we need to not only stop that increase, but actually reduce the cost base in the basin. So those are three very significant challenges. I think the only way that, I think we're all agreed, the only way that they can be achieved is through collaboration right across the industry and between the industry and government. But given the stakes and given the importance of all of this, I'm sure that that can be achieved.
Now we've talked before about implementing the Wood Review and the fiscal regime, but the rising costs, I mean, is this something that the industry themselves will have to try and address?
You're quite right. On the first two elements, if you like, fiscal review and regulatory reform, there's a big role for the government there. But the third one, the cost, it really does come down to the industry and all parts of the industry to rise to that challenge and get on top of these costs and drive them down.
How much of this, for instance, is wages, or is it other costs we're talking about?
It's not just wages. There have been there's been some action on that, so we can't say that staff costs aren't part of it. But it's more the efficiency of the way that we work in the North Sea we need to look at, really. How can we do things better and more efficiently, and through that drive down our costs?
But I think any other industry would look at this and think, why are costs going up 20% per year? I mean, for other industries, that would be quite hard to understand, I think.
I think that's true. The answer is partly that the industry globally is booming, and so there has been, it's not all a UK phenomenon. But on top of that, the industry has been extremely busy of late, and I'm afraid some of that has fed through into cost inflation, which we need to deal with now.
Now, skirts and dresses have been banned from North Sea helicopters. This is the latest safety change in the wake of the ditching off the coast of Shetland last year, in which four people lost their lives. You also won't be allowed to wear shorts, sandals or high heels. Shell says they have now sorted out. Shell says they've sorted out an incident on a North Sea platform. Now, a container unit had fallen into the sea and had been suspended by rope above some pipelines. It's been secured and work on the Brent Alpha resumed last week. North Sea projects providing energy to Europe are of the utmost importance, according to the man who wants to be the EU's next energy commissioner. Spain's Miguel Cañete has been taking questions from MEPs as part of the hearing process for appointing a new European commission. He was pressed on making up a shortfall in the funding available for planned grid developments, such as the NorthConnect connector between Scotland and Norway. Ian Duncan, the Scottish Conservative MEP, says Mr. Cañete made two key points in his answers.
He said he would fight for the North Sea project. You might be aware that originally €10 billion was set for this grand European grid in the North Sea, and it was cut to five. That's a big cut. So what we need to see now is how you can manage on so much less, and indeed what could Mr. Cañete do, if he is indeed confirmed, to increase the budget, set a clear timetable and begin the project, because that's the important thing.
where else is this money going to come from for this project? Because it's presumably not going to drop in cost.
No, absolutely. In fact, indeed, as with most of these large-scale projects, it would likely increase in cost. However, Mr. Cagnetti has at his disposal a number of pots of money. He has to determine how he will prioritise their spend. Now, it's quite clear that energy in Scotland is invaluable. We produce energy and we can export energy, but we can only do so if we have the means to do so, and that is a grid in the North Sea to get our energy, our electricity, over the water. So, we have the energy. Eastern Europe needs the energy. We've got to bring the two together. So energy security should be at the heart of this, and that's what Mr. Cagnetti said. Energy security, energy production, and indeed renewable energy.
Yeah, do you think he understood the importance not just to Scotland, but then the whole of the EU with this project?
I think he did. He was speaking about two clear things. The first is we've got to keep the lights on, and that means we've got to rely upon sources of energy which are dependable, secure and sustainable. The second thing, which is also important, is he recognised that what we do in Scotland is invaluable. We are leaders in the way of renewable energy and we have significant resources. So he understood the two parts of the equation. It's joining the two parts together that will be the real challenge.
We're obviously at the heating stage at the moment. Is it then perhaps maybe too early for him to give a firm commitment for funding? Is this possibly the best you could have hoped for?
I suspect that is correct. He had a difficult hearing. His future is not yet certain. What we've heard from him is the right sound, the right noise, the right affirmation of what we need. But he's got to get himself confirmed if this is going to happen, and we've got to make sure that the commission to which he belongs prioritises this aspect of energy security.
That was one part of your question, but also some concerns about fracking in what he said. Can you explain for perhaps the listeners at home what he was saying in relation to that?
Well, yes. What he said was, although hydrocarbon extraction is a member state competence, that means that we do it back home best, when it comes to fracking, he would decide how to regulate that particular area of hydrocarbon extraction. Now, that's troubling for several reasons. One, we don't do it for oil and gas now. So why on earth would we allow gas from oil shale to be regulated in a different way? Because Mr. Cagnetti believes he's got the right and the power to do so. That's a grab of power by the EU, and that's what we as Conservatives are very much against. We've got to make sure these things are pulled back. We've got a long history in oil and gas extraction. We have the highest standards in the world. We've achieved that through hard labour. We don't need Mr. Cagnetti to either reduce the standards or meet a lowest common denominator approach. This was tried in the last commission and beaten off by the Prime Minister, David Cameron. I'm very troubled to hear that Mr. Cagnetti believes that he has the right and power to do this whole thing over again.
Just lastly, on that point, would the UK have any sway or any chance of, I guess, vetoing any possibility of this happening?
They will have sway. The principal reason for that is the UK has determined that it will frack its hydrocarbon reserves on land. Other parts of Europe have said they will not do so. How do you therefore balance those two things out? That's the reality. You cannot basically create a policy that satisfies those who wish no fracking whatever and those who wish to do so safely, securely and sensibly. And I think that will remain the challenge right now for the UK to make sure its voice is heard, since it is the single largest hydrocarbon extractor in the EU.
That's MEP Ian Duncan there, and staying with fracking, INEOS has bought the rights to shale gas in the area around its Grangemouth refinery. The licence covers 127 square miles. Fracking has proved highly controversial, with environmentalists saying it's too dangerous, and as we heard, there's been growing support for offshore shale gas in the North Sea. The company says if they do start drilling, it will hand over some of the production revenue to landowners and local communities. And Petrofac Training Services has won gold at the Occupational Health and Safety Awards. This is the first time the company has entered the event, which are organised by the Royal Society for the Prevention of Accidents.